everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics. I am Tristan.
I am Bob.
And these are the new comic listings for Wednesday, August 28th.
Oh my god.
2019.
It's almost the fall.
It is almost the fall. It feels folly.
Yeah.
Fallish.
Follies. Welcome to the comic book follies.
Yes. So, this is an insane week.
It is literally an insane, yeah.
This is too many books, but...
Yeah, I always grab that. Like, I always grab one of everything to read, and then some days people look at me when I have the stack like I'm completely insane and or, like, just made of money or something. Cause, like,
or
I
just
can't even imagine.
Fucking with the inventory store.
Just, like, stealing. I don't know what. But I got a lot of cross looks today from my enormous pile of comics that I had to read through. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
There is. We're going to start with, I guess I'll just start with an indie.
Okay, yeah.
This was kind of a nice surprise. This was Mountainhead from IDW Comics. John Lees, Ryan Lee, Doug Garback, and Sean Lee. So many Lees.
Yeah. This is going to be a longer podcast than normal because we're saying the names.
Oh, no. But I really dug this. It was... I don't know really how to describe it. You've got a kid that was kidnapped and forced to do break-ins, and
yeah, it's like a mountain. It's a mountain stealing. Like, it's a family that's, like, living off of stealing from, like, mountain cabins and things like that. But then there's, like, this supernatural.
And there's this guy who's, I don't know. We don't really know yet. Some guy who's, like, the last survivor of some crazy Arctic expedition stumbles into the town. And these two people are going to meet. All we know is that they have yet to meet. So,
yes,
it's cool.
It was really cool.
It's really fun. The art style is very interesting. It falls into that, like, farmhand chew kind of art style. Or what's his name? Who's doing Martian Manhunter right now?
That is Riley Rossmo.
Riley Rossmo. Yeah, it's a little bit of a Riley Rossmo kind of style. Hmm. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I would say definitely like you said, farmhand. That's
my brain is not working today.
Because the thing is I think of someone, and the person I thought of is Nick Patara, and it's not Nick Patara.
It's not. But fine. It's, I'm gonna have the internet here now because if I don't, I'm just not gonna know anything.
It's not Jonathan Lehman. Is the writer?
He's the writer.
The Rob Guillory.
Thank you.
Got it.
Oh, God. If we do this for the whole podcast, it's going to be 25 hours long.
This entire podcast is just us trying to remember people's names. We won't do that.
Another fun indie was Tommy Gunn Wizards
from cool.
Dark Horse.
Christian Ward wrote it.
Christian Ward, art by Sammy Cavella.
And Christian Ward is an amazing artist, so it was cool to see. So this is basically, it's literally like the Untouchables, like the Al Capone... Elliot Ness thing,
and very much like the 80s movie The Untouchables,
very much, except for instead of booze it's just bootleg magic, and so all these historical characters are in it. I thought it was like a really cool, both of those were really great. It was nice to read like kind of horror fantasy indie books that weren't just like huge world building epics. Just it's like here's The Untouchables but instead it has magic, like here's this crazy kooks that live in the mountains and have, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that. It was a little more approachable, and I dug it.
I feel like I knew what was up like right out of the gate.
Yeah, it was not hard to follow.
Do we want to talk about the elephant in the room, or
let's talk about it.
Yeah,
okay.
Why not?
So Marvel Comics has successfully published 1,000 issues of Marvel Comics, and the 1,000th issue came out. it's just called Marvel Comics 1,000.
This is the 80th anniversary of Marvel since Marvel Comics number one, and they're just basically saying, instead of calling it Marvel Comics 80th anniversary, we're calling it Marvel Comics 1000.
Yes.
Because it sounds better somehow.
And also because Detective Comics and Action Comics 1000 sold a lot of copies.
Sure.
I would say, actually, so basically, it's 80-page giant.
Yep.
And because there's 80 years... and there's 80 pages, each year gets a page, which I think is very intelligent. Although some of the things that they're like, this is the last issue of the Hulk under Peter David. I'm just like, that's not a thing that happened during, I mean, it's, yes, technically it happened that year, but that's not, you know, whatever. But like, yeah, it's fine. It introduces kind of like a new thing that Marvel may or may not choose to follow up on. There's some amazing artists in here, some amazing writers. Far too many to list. We could literally spend the rest of the podcast just listing the creators. Oh,
God, yeah. Which yeah, we're not going to do that.
But it was cool and fun, and you're probably interested in it if you like comics, because it has all the Marvel Comics guys in it. Like,
yes. I would imagine people are going to be into that.
Including The Punisher and Galactus. Adam Warlock to... Zax, the guy from
there you go.
I actually don't know if Zax is actually in it.
okay, so Absolute Carnage is going on.
I love it still.
Absolute Carnage number 2 was great, and a tie-in that is worth being a tie-in is of course Venom. Venom is awesome. Yes. This issue of Venom is one of the best so far, and I really dig this crazy thing. So, this is just the 90s done right.
Yeah, I love Ryan Stegman's art in Absolute Carnage. I think Donny Cates' story in Absolute Carnage is really good. They did that thing where it's like it's still a really good story, but then just like in the middle, there's like a double page spread that shows like a panel each of all the crossovers that you don't have to read at all, except for the Venom one, which is also written by Donny Cates and which is also really good and has really good art. Does actually tell a story that is kind of in addition to the Absolute Carnage. Yeah. So I would say of this week's, even though I am reading Absolute Carnage and no tie-ins, if I were to get a tie-in, Venom number 17,
yep,
by Donny Cates and Iban Coelho and Rain Barredo.
And just very quickly, there are two other tie-ins. There's the Miles Morales tie-in, yes, and...
There was another one that was called Shajabaja. No, it was called, what was the other one? Absolute Carnage. Oh, it wasn't like Spirits of Vengeance, but it was like Iron Fist and Misty Knight.
I didn't read it, but it was.
No, it's in here somewhere.
Well, it is. We'll say it later. Yeah. But it's basically Heroes for Hire doing Venom, whatever.
Yeah. Sorry.
Venom for Hire.
It's
Spencer for Hire, but with Venom.
Man. Okay, that would be cool. Okay, I can't find it. There's too many. There's literally too many comics.
Ice Cream Man, number 14. This one, they've been doing little novelty things a lot lately.
Yes.
And this little novelty thing is based on a crossword puzzle, and it's really cool and fun.
I think this novelty thing is cooler than the palindrome comic novelty thing, personally.
I understand your problem with that one, too. But
yeah, but that, at the same time, like I liked this story. It was like, a lot of the times with Ice Cream Man, like I feel like the stories don't really end. They might just kind of like stop. Whereas this one, I feel like, has a very clear kind of end, and there's like a cliffhanger moment in it where it's just like, oh my God, that's crazy. And so that was cool. Let's talk about House of X.
Sure.
Excuse me. House of X, 3 of 6 is out. And it is really the most straightforward superhero comic issue of this X-Men relaunch to date. It was... The X-Men put together a Strike Force team to do some stuff that I don't want to say what it is because you're reading the comic and I don't want to give it away. Written by Jonathan Hickman. It is drawn by Pepe Larraz and Gracia and Gracia and then also other people.
All right. Drawing Blood number 4 is out. This is the Kevin Eastman, Ben Bishop, David Avalone.
Last issue of volume 1,
I believe so. Yes. And volume 2 is being kickstarted as we speak. So if you are interested in helping them make that come to life,
hit them up on Kickstarter. August 31st, which is the cutoff date, which I got from the ad in the back of.
It's true. And you know what else August 31st is? It's the date of Sean Murphy's signing at Coast City Comics from 6 to 8. on Saturday. We're going to have a raffle. We're going to have all sorts of stuff. We're going to have discounts and things, and go to our Facebook page or go to our Instagram and you'll see those things.
Man, that's awesome. Cool. We'll talk about that again.
That was a segue.
But that was a very nice natural segue. Segue. Very nice.
All right, Flash 77.
It's Flash 77. Flashy things happened in this Flash.
So many flashy things. There's King Shark things.
King Shark things.
Which is fun. Fantastic Four, Yancey Street. If you like Yancey Street,
Greg Smallwood,
you're the only person.
Yeah, I am. I like this. I would if
Greg Smallwood. I just mean Yancey Street, the concept.
Oh, the concept.
The book is fine. It's more just every time the fucking Fantastic Four talk about Yancey Street or go like, look, it's about those little hooligans from the 1920s that are for some reason still there in 2020.
And then when Kirby went to DC and he did the dingbats of like Doyle Street or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's like literally just like the Yancey Street gang.
Yep.
But like
different
characters. One of them, I just...
They were just the Newsies.
I'm no fat and I eat a lot of food, a lot of hot dogs. And it's like this skinny kid. That was such a weird... The dingbats of... Something Street.
Yep. Yeah. I have a copy of that somewhere.
I do too. I probably have at least one. yeah. So I'm going to. Can I talk about this one?
Please. Oh my God.
Yeah. So Joe Quinones is the superhero artist of all time. The comic I'm talking about is Dial H for Hero number 6. And it is written by Sam Humphries. It's continuing the story of Dial H for Hero, which is basically it's a phone dial that turns you into a superhero is all you need to know. He cycles through so many Quinones, the artist, Scott Hanna's the anchor, colorist Jordan Gibson, cycles through everything from Alex Ross to Mike Allred to Dan Klaus to just like
it's insane.
Dave Gibbons. It's
showing
just like
off.
It's insane. Like, yeah, he's really just like. It's
real
crazy.
Braggadocious on this one, but it's
crazy.
But it's well worth it. It's
like
insane.
You'd swear the cover of this is by Alex Ross, and it is 100%.
Yeah, the Alex Ross page that he does inside is so beautiful.
Yeah, it's like he's riffing on like everything is kind of like a reference, and it's for some reason like that sounds like something that wouldn't be that fun to read, but it's actually super fun to read, and I like it, and it's I'm glad it's continuing past number 6.
Yes. Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
He's a doctor of things that are strange. I have not
read
this.
Yeah, I flipped through it. It's kind of like I think it's a standalone Doctor Strange story by
and
Mark Waid. And
some weird octopus monster that I don't think
Jesus says.
Is his normal octopus monster. So,
yeah. Shugu Gorgoroth.
It's not Shumagoroth. It's not
Shumagoroth.
No.
I prefer Shugu Gorgamarath.
Shugu Gorgamarath. Shugu Gorgamarath really just kind of comes
really
off the tongue.
How about I mention, if you're a fan of comics that have 10 billion DC Comics superheroes in them, as I am, you would want to check out Justice League number 30, which is the first part of a new storyline, and also... In addition to, you'll want to read all the way through to the
this
last
is,
page.
This has been spoiled everywhere in the world. But
I didn't know about
okay,
it.
Okay, so that's fair. So we won't. I won't spoil it, but there's a huge reveal in this
issue. Yeah, there's a crazy thing that happens at the end that I was like, holy crap, that's awesome.
That's cool that you and somehow managed to live through.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's like all over the internet. So maybe I just didn't go online at all, which is entirely possible because I was very tired this week.
Captain America 13 is out. The Ta-Nehisi Coates,
yeah.
Jason Masters, Sean Isaacsi.
Guy's awesome. He did. The last couple Fantastic Fours, and they're really good.
Isaacsi. Is that it?
I don't know. Honestly, and
Matt Miller.
I would say Isaacsi, but he's really good.
Isaacsi looks like it.
Or whoever. I don't know. But that's only the last couple of pages. The rest of it is drawn by someone else, and it's the first part of the Cap is Wanted for Murder storyline that is very interesting.
Yes. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The Chosen Ones, number one.
Bunch of short little stories about different slayers.
Yep.
With cool art. Some of which is even kind of like Lumberjanes-y.
It's funny. I looked at it, and all I could think of was... oh my God, who's the artist? the Out of the Way Pops, Hark a Vagrant.
Oh, yeah, Kate Beaton.
Kate Beaton. I thought that the last artist was Kate Beaton at first, but was not Kate Beaton. But very cool still.
I am going to mention one of my favorite comics, Justice League Dark, number 14, by James Tynion IV, Martinez Bueno, and Fernandez and Lucas. We're just reading off the cover, folks. You know, I'm not trying to short shrift anybody. This is the start of a new storyline where they are fighting Cersei. It is awesome. I really like what they're doing with Dr. Fate, Kent Nelson, and the young teenage Dr. Fate, who had his own series for a while, are basically like a duo, but they're not using the helmet because things are crazy with the helmet. I like this thing where they say, it's vampires. It's entirely too many goddamn vampires. Except for they don't say goddamn because it's got cartoon swear. But no, I really like this. The art's really good in it. The story is cool and interesting, and I like Justice League Dark, and I think you should like it too.
Yes, I think that too. Batman Superman, number one.
It's out, number one.
This is a big tie-in to The Batman Who Laughs. And actually,
we are now referring to as Spike Face. He needs a better name.
He really does.
We could have a contest, maybe.
Chuckles Von Pointy Face.
Chuckles Von Pointy Face, sure.
It's either way, he is... I do not really like this character. I don't really care for the seven-issue run that preceded this. However, this book I did like.
That's cool.
I thought this was cool. I think this
is good.
Leading to something fun, and it's dark, but it's dark in that kind of like DC of the early 2000s kind of way, where it's not so bleak that you just like want to give up all hope.
It's just one of those things where to me it's just like you know, I it makes me love the idea that nothing is permanent in comics, and sometimes I don't like that idea, but in this one I do like it because I really wouldn't want to read a Shazam comic where Billy Batson has shaved fang teeth for the rest of every...
Really? Are you sure?
No, I wouldn't like that. I don't know. It's not my jam, but it was a very pretty book. It's very well drawn, and you liked it. So,
I actually dug it. So,
cool.
Anyway, Batgirl, there's a new Oracle.
Yeah, I really liked the art in this Batgirl. I thought it was really good. Who's the artist on this Batgirl?
Artist on Batgirl is somebody... there's somebody with a last name that I can't pronounce.
Here, let me see it.
Castellucci?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's Cecil Castellucci is the writer, and Di Gian Domenico. So this guy...
We got to get better at these names.
We do, but you know, we're not used to saying them. No, this artist is not a new artist. Carmine DiGiamenico, whatever it is. This is an artist I've seen a lot and haven't really particularly cared for. I thought the art in this was really, really cool. And I love the Terrible Trio, and they're still in it. And I don't know. I just felt like it was worth saying that the comic look was cool.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, fine.
Fine.
Avengers number 23. Really great issue.
Yeah, there's so many Ghost Riders in it.
There's so many Ghost Riders. You get all of the Jason Aaron Ghost Riders back, including the crazy trucker Ghost Riders. and also, I don't know if he's been referred to as Boy Thing before, but Man Thing comes off Blade's shoulder for the first time, and he's got little arms and legs, and he refers to him as Boy Thing.
Excuse me, I missed that, but that's hilarious.
Boy Thing, go get somewhere safe. Great. Oh, Lethal Protectors. That's the name of that book.
Absolute Carnage. Lethal Protectors was the name of the book.
Giving that 100% short shrift, neither of us have even thumbed it, right?
No, I actually liked it fine.
Oh, really?
It's mostly about Misty Knight.
I like Misty Knight usually.
And the various carnages. Carnage.
Oh, they stole her arm.
Oh, dude.
That's just not right. Oh, this thing. Oh, this old book. Why, if it isn't Batman, The Curse of the White Knight, book two. This is Sean's second input in this Azrael story. about the history of the Wayne family and the birth of Gotham City, as told through flashbacks to a swashbuckling Wayne of old who has a whip and who looks suspiciously like Simon Belmont and Zorro smushed together, which is for a reason that we will talk about on a podcast later. Sean will be on probably after, I think it's issue 3 or maybe issue 4.
Oh.
Because we have to talk about something that Sean and I did together.
Ooh.
And he wants to wait until that issue comes out, and I can't remember which one it is.
So he'll be on this podcast?
He'll be on, I think I'm just going to do like a separate issue. Sit-in, like, and we're just going to talk about this silly thing.
Cool.
Because I actually got to write a little bit, a tiny little bit of the White Knight book.
Neat.
And it was, I just added a character and a few lines of dialogue to bridge a certain section for him. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about the original pitch for this book, which was fucking stupid. basically because we were just kind of drunk and like knocking ideas back and forth. But we had a really funny monster idea for this book that never happened.
Funny. I like the world's greatest detective line in this.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
When you read it and you get to it, you will realize
it's real good.
It is very funny. Oh, wait.
And yes, oh, wait, it's good stuff. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah. It looks great.
Yeah. Thanos.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And of course, he will be signing.
Oh, yeah. And that's on the 31st.
Yes. That is the thing. Thanos, number 5, is out.
Yep.
I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah. It's out.
It's great. I mean, I've been enjoying it, but I did not read this one, so.
I didn't read it either. Sorry.
Action Comics, number 1014.
Yeah, it's good. It's like a... It says it's a Year of the Villain tie-in, but it's really an Event Leviathan tie-in. Who cares? Either way, it's the same story that's been going on in Action Comics the whole time. If you're reading Action Comics, which I think you should be, it's one of DC's stronger books. It's just kind of like touching on like the some of the villains in Metropolis and the Rose and Thorn character,
and then there's the big thing. There's a huge thing at the end as well. This is a fairly important. The little tag at the end of this book is actually pretty important.
For a new character. I must confess that because it's a book that I normally read. Oh yeah. No, I did read it. Okay, sorry. Yeah, it is.
Yes,
it is.
You were the one who pointed it out to me.
Hey, it stuck with me. You know what can I say?
Sure.
I just literally plowed through like 45 comic books.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it is really cool. And
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman fights the cheetah and stuff.
Wonder Woman 77, and Jenny Frazone does a variant cover on it that is like downright pornographic. it's gonna make furries' heads explode. Okay, Thor, number 16.
Yeah, this is the last issue of Thor.
Yeah.
I mean, of this run of Thor.
And to be followed by King Thor, correct?
It continues directly from this issue into King Thor.
Cool stuff.
As a matter of fact, it
and
does.
And it has a nice wraparound cover, which
I
dig.
I actually really like the cover.
Because it brings Nasher. Is that the goat?
That's one of them.
Whichever one. It's got one of them. Nasher and...
Tooth Nasher and something Grinder.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with that app.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it's also got Thorry the dog.
And it has this guy with the purple leopard head mask.
I like him too.
Yeah, he's cool. And I like that the Warriors 3 is now... Volstagg is not on it, but it's like... It's not Brunhild, but it's like the character from... that series that the same artist did. I think it is anyway. Weird World.
And we have Superman 14.
Superman 14 is
finally out after being pulled from the shelves and then reissued with a new cover.
They claimed
that it was because there was a thing on the cover that said "You're the Villain" and it doesn't tie into "You're the Villain." The rumor that I had heard is that they used the wrong Lightning Lad.
Well, I think
that colorist had colored him as a white person.
I think maybe it might have been a coloring thing because the art that I saw, like, that didn't really make a lot of sense. But it definitely has nothing to do with Year of the Villain. So
there is
maybe
also
that's why. I mean, maybe someone was just like, why are you putting this on? There's honestly...
That's not enough reason to pull it off shelves, though.
I mean, I guess not. But at the same time, like, if that is the reason, like, I would stand behind it. Like, a lot of these Year of the Villain things will have, like, you know, Mr. Freeze on the cover, but then it's like the whole issue is Deadshot, and then there's like a page of Mr. Freeze at the end that, you know, it's just like, I think this Year of the Villain thing is just like really like haphazard. Well, I was thinking of Slapdash.
Slap Hazard.
It's very Slap Hazard.
Man, I'm changing my name to Slap Hazard.
I think that we should pitch a sledgehammer type show called Slap Hazard.
Nice. I like him.
Nice.
I like him already, and I don't know anything about him. Spider-Man, Life Story, number 6, the 10s.
The final issue.
This has a new character in it. I mean, it's got a new mashup character.
Yeah,
in it.
So basically, what Zdarsky did with this series, I think, is actually pretty smart. I don't think it's like a story that was like demanding to be told, but it's like, you know, clearly the idea is like it works to like put Spider-Man in this timeline where like, you know, everything happens chronologically, but then like things that occur. Like sort of what Darwin Cook did with New Frontier and like putting the characters back in the context in which they were created makes them resonate more. And I think in this way, it's just like a different way for Peter Parker and all the ancillary Spider-Man characters to resonate. And so because this is the 2010s, Miles Morales comes into it and it makes sense. Actually, it's a nice story. It's just not, it's fine.
All right, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
That is a Mary Jane solo issue, and I would imagine since there's going to be a Mary Jane comic coming out that this might even be like kind of like considered a prequel to it.
Sounds right. There's a lot of Miles Morales in this.
Yeah, it's Tom Taylor and Cabal and others. I don't know. It was fine. It was a Mary Jane story. I didn't really sit with it, so maybe it's awesome and I just didn't realize it.
More Amazing Spider-Man is out, and this is getting us slightly closer to the feeling of Spider-Verse in this story arc. We've got a lot of the Deadly Foes characters, and they're fun. I've always dug that.
Yeah, it's the Sinister Six, the new Sinister Six, which is all female characters. But also kind of most of them have classic Spider-Man villain roles, and it's cool and smart. And the art is by Brad Walker and it's really, really good. My favorite art in Spider-Man, and I know you love Ryan Otley, and it's not like I don't like him. I think Brad Walker is really, really good.
He is.
In the same way that like Figueredo, when he did Hellboy,
was
able to like kind of pull like the book style, but then also like his draftsmanship is just so good that like it, like there's like a panel in here of Spider-Man's costume that's drawn just from an angle that I was like, it would look like that if he were in that pose. And I've just never seen anyone draw in so that like you got that angle of like how the suit is designed. Like it's like, I don't know. I thought it was really cool.
Nice.
Good. Good.
Good stuff.
Martian Manhunter number 8 is out by Steve Orlando and Riley Rossmo and Plasencia. And it's really good, and I still really like it. Kind of a like character issue.
I know everyone was looking for a Power Pack series for Power Pack Grows Up, where they fight the Brood.
So, well, they don't grow up. This is by the original creative team, and it is set during the like classic era of Power Pack.
Well, it's called the Power Pack Grow Up.
Yeah, but it's not. Well, I don't know why it's called that, because it's literally like Kitty Pryde and Wolverine are in it. It's like...
they're older than when they were infants.
They were never infants. They are literally the exact same age that they were in their original series. And Kofi the horse alien is in it. And the ship that has a name. It was like, if you read Power Pack, it's Louise Simonson, it's June Brigman, it's the original creative team. And it's just kind of a done in one Power Pack story that I have no idea why it came out, but it's cool to see them doing it again. Also, it guest stars Kitty Pryde and Wolverine and
the Brood.
And the Brood are the villains, sort of.
In one part, yes. Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yeah.
Number 37.
The original.
I like this artist.
Yeah, it's the original artist is back, Kenneth Ruckelfort.
He's doing kind of a different style than he was before.
Yeah, I think he's just
I think it's really interesting. I'm actually very much digging this.
No, it was cool. I thought it was cool. It's it's Red Hood. He's training new outlaws because Bizarro and Artemis got lost in time / and or space. They are also in this comic. And Bizarro has started meditating and doing yoga, which is kind of cool. It's fine, you know. I like it. I'm going to talk about Bizarro again for a second because the Terrifics number 19 came out, and the villain of Year of the Villain, Dark Gifts, is another version of Bizarro that for some reason has to wear armor. I don't really get, and he has slippers. But other than that, it's a new issue of the Terrifics.
Yep. She-Hulk. Yes. It's a one-shot kind of annual dealy. They've been doing these things, the acts of evil.
Acts of evil. It's an annual.
It's fun. It's a fun She-Hulk book. Yeah. What makes me happy about it is just because knowing that there's going to be a She-Hulk TV series.
Oh, cool.
And that they're clearly amping up for this.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Disney Plus is going to be doing a She-Hulk series.
That's cool.
So I was worried that it was going to just be smashy smashy. No. And there's an awful lot of lawyering in this book.
No,
and
she's
it's my favorite part of the She-Hulk character.
Yeah, absolutely. In this issue, she is representing the Machine Smith, who is a guy with really weird mutton chops who became a robot that kept the mutton chops after becoming a robot.
Yes.
It's a great character design, I gotta say. And then Bullseye gets involved
in a kind of
weird way.
Yes.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's good. My favorite part was, I think Bullseye throws a knife at his face, at the robot's face, and he's like, watch it, you could put an eye out. I don't want to scratch on these.
Nice. I'm going to talk about Freedom Fighters number 8. This is a 12-issue maxi series. So number 8 is, this is a really cool one. It's a planet Nazi, like basically Nazis won World War II, and they have turned Detroit into a giant slave factory. And this is a undercover mission to break up the Nazi slave ring. And it actually has I think the series is really, really good. Freedom Fighters. It'll read great as a trade. I super dig it. Robert Venditti, Eddie Barrows, Herbert Ferreira, and Lucas. I can't really say too much else about it other than I just think it's a really strong book. And this issue was really also strong.
Speaking of strong things.
Yes.
Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Devil Dinosaur is strong.
This is quite possibly the most disgusting children's book I've ever read in my life.
It definitely has grossest Mr. Fantastic thing.
It's one
thing.
Of the most visceral
gross.
Body horror moments for a kid's comic.
Yeah.
Literally, he's stretching his eyeball out to see around the corner. Lunella grabs it and just yanks it by the socket. Yeah. And she's like dragging it around, and it's really disgusting.
Yeah. So the concept of this storyline is that Lunella is mad. She thinks she's smarter than Mr. Fantastic. And so she's kind of like being super arrogant. And Mr. Fantastic is kind of trying to be like, hey, you know, chill out. But also, he's a dick.
He's caused most of Earth's most horrible disasters.
Yeah, he's the guy that came up with that thing of like imprisoning people in the negative zone who were, you know, like refusing to cooperate with the U.S. government. Remember that from Civil War?
Yep.
Thanks, Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah,
you
seriously.
Freaking fascist prick.
Okay,
that was also Iron Man too.
True,
gotta say.
Also, fascist prick.
Also,
Moon Girl, Devil Dinosaur has the best covers.
Yeah, yeah.
The
great.
Last three covers, actually, this one, the one before it, and the one that's coming up.
Yeah, they have it at the end.
They have it at the end. Seriously, the last one where she's just sort of like reading a book and she's like sitting on the little rocking Devil Dinosaur. One of my favorite covers.
Yeah,
and she's like bouncing on Mr. Fantastic in the next one with Devil Dinosaur. It's so good. This thing is like, it's so heartwarming and fun and just, damn it. They did such a good job.
Definitely. That cover artist.
Also, there's going to be a Moon Girl TV series.
Oh, wow.
On Disney Plus.
Wow. Raza is the artist of the covers.
Nice.
Raza.
Oh, cool. I get to talk about something else I really liked.
Yeah, yeah. You got double dose of cool stuff you like at the end.
Holy shit. Marvel Monsters number one.
Yeah.
This book is fun. Yeah.
It's like a who's who for monster Marvel.
Yeah.
Monsters.
So the only real problem, if you were to have a problem with this, is the fact that the story, which I would put in big air quotes, is maybe 10 pages.
Yeah. See,
pages
I would have
of story.
I would have just made the, so you have like basically like pinup. So like James Stokoe doing Fin Fang Foom, for example.
And then, so like there'll be a nice pinup on one side, but then a diagram on the other
yes.
side that's like a cross section of the monster explaining how it works on
yeah,
the inside.
And all, it's like different monster organs
yeah.
and different powers
so
that it has
good.
And stuff. It's really cool. So what I kind of wish is that it was just like just that. The story was fine, but kind of unnecessary.
Although,
focuses around that kid kaiju character.
I'm not usually one to care about like Marvel doing powers and things where it's like who's stronger than who or whatever. But there has been this kind of issue with Man-Thing in Marvel comics where it's like he goes from being face to face with the Hulk and like holding him back and like knocking him over to being sliced in half instantly by Ares and like just kind
yeah.
of like he's
basically kind of made of moss though. Like the thing that's indestructible about Man-Thing is that
he just regenerates.
Like, he just regenerate like Swamp Thing
into a boy thing
as we found
from a boy thing to a man thing. And Manor Black number two. Cullen Bunn doing Cullen Bunn stuff. It still looks like
Tyler
it's going to be
Crook.
Great. Tyler Crook, Brian Hurt.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Another awesome horror book from him.
It's too bad that it got somehow on the bottom because
it should not be on the bottom.
It should not be like the last thing we think of because Manor Black is a great book from Dark Horse and all those guys. And
that's really good because Dark Horse has been, I'm not going to say falling down.
I'm not going to say eating shit. Sorry.
I'm not going to say that Dark Horse had probably the last 5 years of having really fucking awful books, but boy, they had some really awful books in the last five years.
I mean, Dark Horse is like one of those things where it's like you forget they're good books, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know,
it's
like
true.
It's very easy to like, because they have these like franchise books too, like Beast of Burden or Hellboy or like
right.
whatever,
of
where
course.
You're kind of just like, you know, it's easy to forget that they put out like some cool stuff.
I feel like they were just throwing a lot of shit at the wall for the last few years is like IP farm stuff in a way that just
need a hit.
Isn't right for Dark Horse to do. It just feels weird that they do that. They make all their money from those stupid art books for video games, so they don't care. 70% of their income comes from like Legend of Zelda hardcovers and things like that.
Really?
So they don't give a shit about their comics.
Is that
true? It is true.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really weird. But they do manage to come out with some really cool stuff. Sometimes.
Well, that last train on the what's the last
holy
the red
crap.
Line?
Yeah, last stop on the red line. That is well, I'm saying the last year they feel like they have pulled out of a tailspin.
Oh,
is yeah. kind of my point.
Cool.
And I've dug so many Dark Horse books this year that were like brand new concepts. I mean, I feel like Harrow County was like the beginning of them coming back like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was. That was like, that was the thing that kind of
yeah
was like a, oh, hey, look, they've got a thing. They've got like an ongoing story that's really fun. Mm-hmm. And then little things started popping up that I was like, oh, and that and this
yeah.
and something else. That's really fun.
Yeah, I bet if we went back, we could like, it's one of those things where like public, it's funny, like I'll remember like artists or writers or things like that. But like publisher is something that doesn't necessarily like beyond like Marvel DC, which is the obvious stuff. Like, you know, I'm sure there are lots of Dark Horse books that are great that I have forgotten about.
Agree.
At least I've forgotten that they are Dark Horse books.
Yeah. I mean, Grindhouse, I loved.
I don't even remember that.
Alex DeCampi's book.
Oh, yeah.
It was like
right.
a,
I'm sorry. I didn't read it. That's why I don't.
It was in little like each thing was like a 2-issue arc for two
yes.
different stories. And they were.
Oh,
like,
and there was the one with the machine gun leg.
Yep. There's the
she
there's
had the machine gun leg.
That's the movie. But this is
the, oh, that's the movie.
The movie. This was like the B-Girls was the first one. It was like these women that were taken over by like alien B-law.
I remember that. But wasn't there one with a chick that like shot everybody or something. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't read it. I should just shut
You're
up.
You're definitely thinking of the Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino, Grindhouse.
Quentin Tarantino.
I didn't say that.
No, I did. I was the one that couldn't pronounce his name. Anyway, that's it.
It's Quentin Tarantino.
Good enough. Do you have any pictures of the trades?
I do not the thing is that some of them are the same ones that were there last week. I think it was like a lighter trade week maybe than...
Yeah, we got a lot of reorders, and I don't think we got a lot of new stuff.
But there was... Let's see.
I think they were trying to give us a break because we spent so much friggin' money on just single issues this week.
Is the Captain Marvel trade new?
Ooh,
Captain Marvel re-entry?
Maybe.
There's also Journey into Mystery, War of the Realms.
Yeah, that's the one that's done by the Adventure Zone people. So
yep.
Everybody's going to be excited about that.
There's Creeps Spooktacular.
Yep.
There is...
So there's the Creeps thing. What's the R.L. Stine thing that's out?
Oh, I'll get to that in a second. Batman Who Laughs.
Yep.
Trade Pumpkin Heads by Rainbow Rowell and Faith Erin Hicks. Graphic novel.
That looks fun.
Tokyo Ghoul.
Yeah, just the most recent volume.
My Hero Academia Smash.
Yep, some sort of spin-off from that thing.
Okay, cancel. Sorry, I've got somehow into editing these videos. Okay, so the R.L. Stine is called Just Beyond.
Just Beyond. Okay, cool.
It says R.L. Stine, Just Beyond, Kelly and Nicole Matthews...
Yeah,
and it's, then there's a glare over the rest of it.
Basically, it's like Goosebumps in graphic novel form. Only it's all new stories. So,
oh, cool. There's that. There's One Punch Man number 17. I don't know if that's new or restock. Dark Crystal, Volume 2.
Yep.
Battle Pug, the Compugnium.
Oh yes, that's I believe every single Battle Pug in one gigantic omnibus, coming out just in time for the new Battle Pug series that's going to be kicking off soon.
Amazing. G.I. Joe Sierra Muerte, which is the Michael Fifa G.I. Joe miniseries. Michael Fifa from Copra,
who also has Copra is coming out as an ongoing series soon.
It's coming from Image, and all the trades are going to come out from Image.
Yes.
But it's like basically just continuing.
Yeah, but it's going to be an issue by issue though.
Yeah, yeah. It always was, but he was self-publishing before.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Vader Dark Visions. Is that new?
Yes, that is the trade for those.
That's the trade for those ones, featuring that one really weird one.
Yes.
That we talked about.
A couple of weird ones.
Yeah, but there's one really weird one. Rumorg might not be new. Is that from
Rumorg is new this week?
It is new this week. The Devil. The Devil Legacy in Terror Horror.
It's got the Devil in it.
It's got the Devil. And then Klaus was there last week, I know.
Yes.
What else? That's it.
And those are the things.
Those are the things. Also, you should mention one further time about
one last time.
The 31st.
We're going to have Sean Murphy signing on the 31st, Saturday. Come to it. And Saturday the 14th of September, Christian Dabari is going to be here, and he will be signing for Rad Wraith. So come support that thing.
That's wicked rad.
That I did with him and Taylor Esposito and Simon Gow.
It's so good. So, and he's great.
And he's a good dude. And he has some amazing prints that he'll be bringing too. He has an amazing Godzilla print that he did recently. And it's fucking gorgeous.
Sick.
Anyway, that's it.
Yep.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Don't need no tea. Don't need no chicory.